Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Welcome to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine here with Carla Winchester. Carla, what's going on?
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited about my conversation today. As a matter of fact, Carla, today I get to talk to one of my friends in the business. I'm really excited about that. She is the bomb diggity, if I can use that term. Jana Reeder, CEO of Ready Cincinnati. Cincinnati is growing leaps and bounds, and this professional in the game is changing the conditions in Cincinnati with her work. I personally have visited them there in Cincinnati, and the connection she's made, Carla, with all the different groups who are doing jobs and workforce and entrepreneurial efforts and new business development with all the big corporate headquarters they have there in Cincinnati. Jana is a true mover and shaker and an example of what an economic developer should be. She also has a background in the energy world. So she used to work for Duke Energy and make connections between energy and economic development as well. So I know I'm geeked about this one.
I can tell you're very, very excited.
I am. She's cool people.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
well, let's really roll. Is.
Let's do it. Jana, welcome to the call. How you doing?
Hi, Tim. I'm doing fantastic. Hope you're doing well, too.
Doing great. Things are going good here live from the studio. I want to dive into who you are as a leader. And so I want to go back to kind of your start, your first kind of professional job. So I know you worked for the energy company, but you had jobs before that. Tell us about that first time you were really given the opportunity to lead. What was going on in your mind at that time?
I would probably say, if I were truthful here, that I was scared to death, but, but you know, you can't let fear guide you and you have to just work through that. And that's part of resilience. So I think first and foremost, I wanted to prove to myself and prove to those around me that I could take on the leadership role.
Sure. And then you got to the power company. Tell me, what excited you about the utility and working with the utility? And the reason I'm asking is because the utility providers are such great and integral partners to economic development.
They absolutely are. You know, there are so many players at the table when you're trying to land a project. And energy is, I think, one of the top 10, along with the experts say, is one of the top 10 reasons that a manufacturer would choose a region. So Duke Energy and other power companies across the U.S., the history tells me that I think they invented the art and science of economic development way back when, because they knew the importance of having clients, having customers come to their region and literally spend meters. It made money for their company, and dollars and cents matter to these companies.
They absolutely do. So fast forward to this new organization, Ready Cincinnati. Tell us about Ready Cincinnati and kind of how it got started, because to me, it's a story of leadership.
Well, thank you, Tim. I would agree, and I would say that it's of business leadership. A little over 2 years ago, our senior business leaders in the community and government officials, along with the state of Ohio, decided that they wanted to make an independent entity called Ready Cincinnati, the Regional Economic Development Initiative, that our sole focus was to recruit companies to the region and help existing companies expand. We were formerly a department under one of the local chambers of commerce. Nothing wrong. They do a fantastic job. But, you know, when you have competing priorities, it can be tough to truly concentrate on one specific area. Yeah. And we just were not getting our fair share of wins. As you so kindly said in the intro, this region is on fire, and it didn't make sense that we weren't competing across the Midwest or really across the U.S. So we now have a very strategic focus in those two areas. We involve a lot of our partners. I'm often quoted as saying, we don't have to know all the answers. We just have to know the right people. Yeah. So we stay in our swim lane, and we involve the experts when appropriate. You know, it then becomes a win for everyone, the more you involve in what you're doing. And I don't have to have every expert under our roof. We just have to include them.
There's no question about it. And it's obvious to me you're doing that. Can you talk about, from a leadership perspective, what were the steps you were taking when you first came to Ready to lead? Obviously, you had to continue the work of bringing different people and different priorities together, right? Around common ideas, particularly economic development. What did you do as a leader to foster that kind of cooperation?
Well, first and foremost, I personally met with, I would say, all the players. I did 53 speeches in my first year on the job on top of working projects and helping mentor my team. It's important to get out and spend time with your counterparts. You know, people do business with people they trust, and it's important to look someone in the eye and understand their concerns, understand what they bring to the table, understand their passions, so that you then can call on that when you're trying to work a deal or make something happen in your community. The second thing is I made sure that our local economic developers knew how important they are to our regional success. We will not go into one of their companies without bringing them with us or at least inviting them to the meeting. That breaks down so many barriers right there because this is not a competition. Believe me, I laugh and say, my role is to make sure that we're competing with Tennessee, Texas, and maybe a little bit of Michigan.
Be careful.
The last thing we need to do is compete within our region.
Right.
So we made certain that we were bringing the people to the table, great communications, lots of outreach. I believe in over-communicating. People will tell you if they're getting too much from you. And making sure that sometimes even when you think you know the answer to the question, you still should ask it.
Yeah.
You'll learn.
Sure. No question about it. And the thing I like about your approach is it seems to me that was not just the Genesis strategy. That has been your ongoing commitment, correct? Tell us about kind of how you've done that, because you all have pretty regular meetings, right?
Yes, we do. Now, I will give this caveat. I do not believe in meeting to meet. You know, people need to be out doing the work. In fact, I keep a sign on my door that says, your actions today, what have they done to bring us projects? Now, maybe that is an old-time economic developer, but at the end of the day, Ready Cincinnati is judged on the number of jobs and capital investment that we're bringing to the area. Now, how we get there is the real story, but all of our actions need to center around that. So we don't meet to meet, but we do have regular touch points with our full board, with our executive board. And believe me, when I started, we had 28 investors in Ready Cincinnati. We're now at 162 2 years later.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's huge.
And of course, money makes this work happen, but it's truly about bringing people to the table. Those mid-cap companies, those small companies that built their business in our region and have a real passion around this region, it's a beautiful thing when they will help us sell. So we have a newsletter once a month. We do a lot of the traditional outreach, but we do an every other meeting with anyone that touches economic development, public or private, is welcome to come to this meeting. The agenda is jointly set with our local economic developers, and we talk about the practice of economic development, best practices we're seeing across the country and across the world, issues in our area, obstacles to compete. So it's truly a practitioner's meeting, and it's not a gripe session. It is about action-oriented.
Let's quickly take a moment to talk about talent and team, because that is critically important in economic development. As times change, and they are changing rapidly, the bar is moving in competition for jobs. What are the types of people you look for as you continue to build and grow your team? Because I've met some of your team, and obviously you're looking for rock stars. I know that because I've met several of them. But give me more specifics of the type of person you're looking for to be an outstanding economic developer at Ready.
Well, let me just start. When I was less experienced in leading organizations, you know, I used to follow my gut in interviews and based hiring on interaction and resume. Basically, I think a lot of people hire people they like, and those tend to be people that are a lot like them. I probably was guilty of that too. Now I hire based on chemistry. What are the missing skills of my current team? So I look at the skills and the passion that match the job, and they complement my existing team's assets. You know, my job is to create team play. It is no different than a game of baseball. And, you know, we're in Cincinnati and we're big Cincinnati Reds fans, even when we're having a bad year. So I'll compare it to baseball here. Even if everyone on my team can be a pitcher, well, who's the best pitcher? Who's better suited for first base? You know, we have to have both in the game. At Ready, we have a strong bench strength and outside sales. But you can't have everyone in outside sales. We also need others to be excellent in the behind-the-scenes work, you know, in fundraising and research or in deal construction. So my job is to unite the best players for the team so we all win. And then the little caveat to that is I can teach skills all day long. Right. I look for passion. Sure. That's not something that I think you call it the woo factor. Mine is that spark in their eye. They're passionate about our region, their willingness and ability to find a way to yes when it comes to the client's needs. Yeah. Those are hard things to teach.
Well, it's clear to me after visiting your team, you found it. You found many of those people on your team. We're going to take a pause for the cause and talk about some exciting things upcoming for our industry as economic developers. There is a shift coming in professional development, Carla. And I know our listening audience is excited. Some of you have already registered for this great opportunity. But Carla, why don't you tell us about what's going to happen in economics?
Yes. A lot of people have registered for the conference, which is November 1st and 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
One of the things that we heard this morning was the concept of really talking about best practices in economic development and what that means in the changing times as our economy is changing, as the nature of this work changes. And we have so many consultants lined up. Mike Bennett from Jones Lang LaSalle. We have Chris Shastak from CBRE. We have some of the best in the business there to talk about what's changing for the companies that will cause us to have to react and change accordingly. And I'm just really excited about where that's going to go, where that conversation is going to go, and the opportunity for us to learn from some of the best and to be able to share what's working and where we're going to need to explore making some changes.
Absolutely. We think professional development should really move us to a better developed place, more tools. I know for me, Carla, most of the time when I go to conferences, I walk away more tired than I walked in and not necessarily more knowledgeable. Well, economics is here to change that trajectory for professional development. I'm super geeked about it.
Yes. And one of the other things that I think is really important for the listening audience to know is that this isn't going to be the type of event where you just sit and listen to the experts on a big stage and don't have an opportunity to talk to them one-on-one. This is about interaction with site consultants. They're going to be available at multiple times over the course of the entire 24-hour experience so that there's personal interaction. You can ask questions. You can tell them about your communities. This is designed to be a place where you begin to build relationships. So if you're looking to deepen your relationships with some of the best site consultants out there, this is the place that you need to be at. You will get 24 site consultants in 24 hours. That's a great, great opportunity to talk about where you live and what you're doing.
We're all excited about economics. We hope to see you there. Go to the website and register today. Jana, back to you. I want to continue about economic development as an industry. I think it's important that we talk about our industry on this podcast because we want to continue to grow, right, as professionals. So if you had a magic wand and you could recreate how we do economic development in America, what two things would you immediately change about the way we approach our work as professionals?
Well, great question. I think, number one, my project managers would probably tell you that they'd like longer to complete RFIs. So, you know, that's the practicality side yeah, of our work. But sure. I would say, you know, we're a regional market. We promote 15 counties across three states. Our right. MSA covers Southwest Ohio, Northern Kentucky, Southeastern Indiana. So if I had my magic wand, regional markets would not be bound by city, county, or even state lines. Locations would be chosen because of the value proposition, including things like customers, access to customers, quality of the site, the abundance of the workforce. Right. You know, this incentives game would be obsolete, or it would at least be a non-issue because if incentives were universal across a region, we would not have these issues or concerns with poaching or inter-region moving around. It's not good for anyone. It's not net new jobs. And if I had my magic wand, that would not be something that we would have to deal with.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question about leadership while we're here. What are the most important decisions you make as a leader, a point leader in that organization? Because you've got a strong team. There's a lot going on at your organization, but there's some decisions that only you could and should make. What are some of those decisions that only the point leader should be making?
Well, I'm going to take this maybe a little different route than where you're going, but I would say to you, Tim, and I mentor a lot of young people, and I tell them the most important decision you can make is who you surround yourself with, both personally and professionally. I often tell those mentees to choose their life partner carefully, because this is not an 8-to-5 profession, and support of your career and your career success is imperative. And I'll pull out the woman card here for just a moment and say, you know, we have some added challenges that society puts on us. So it's very important that you think about, for your long-term success, things are not just going to work out. You need a plan, and part of that includes who you surround yourself with personally. And then professionally, as I mentioned earlier, it's about surrounding myself with the right people to create the culture that I thrive in, that I think is happy and healthy, and my team does. It's a place that's based on leadership, values, and trust. And I think that's the most important decision any leader can make.
There's no question about that at all. The trust factor, somebody once said that business moves at the speed of trust.
Oh, right? I couldn't agree more.
And our organizational success is bound by that as well. So, Jana, let's say that you have a room full of emerging leaders in economic development in one room. Okay. And you've got one message to give them. What's the message you're telling the emerging leaders in this business?
Well, the first thing that I would say to them is something of practicality. Stop sending emails when you want to talk with someone and build that trust that we just discussed.
Absolutely.
Phone calls are really ideally face-to-face, or how you build a relationship. Emails are for follow-up and covering your you-know-what.
Yep.
So stop sending emails because it's impersonal. It appears that you're being lazy. And just because it's quick does not mean that it's the right thing to do. I then would say, remember that well done is better than well said. We have lots of people in our industry that are great talkers, but do they follow up with what they say they will do?
Right.
And that's why I used the phrase earlier that my team tries to find a way to get to yes. But if the answer is not yes, we will get you an answer quickly, because I think that, again, that is key for any person in our industry, but especially when you're young or inexperienced in this industry and trying to build your way. And then lastly, I would just say that without data, it's just your opinion. When I came into this role 2 years ago, there were a lot of assumptions. There were a lot of things being said, and I kept saying, show me the data, show me the data.
Right.
Businesses don't make decisions about where to locate based on the quality of life. And I'm sorry for anyone out there that's shaking their head right now. It is about return on investment. It's about, can they get the employees? Yes, you have to have a great quality of place. But truly, it has to be about the data. And if you don't know your data, and if you're not making decisions based on data, you're just basing it on an opinion. And who knows if that's correct.
Jana Reeder, you're a star in our industry, a better person than a professional, and you are a great professional. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Thank you for how you're helping to transform and continue to grow the Cincinnati area. And I'm proud to know you and have you on the podcast today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Tim. It's nice that my passion has met my day job, and the feeling is mutual about you, my friend. Thank you all, and I will see you at the upcoming conference.
Thanks for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, an organization working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.org or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.